Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Kaya FM, home of the Afropolitan.
The Law Report with Michael Matswening Bell, Kaya FM 95.9.
Sani Wodani, good evening. Welcome to the Law Report. My name is Michael Matswening Bell. It's good to be with you this Wednesday evening. Thank you so much, Dr. Cindy Fansale. What are we talking about today? We're talking about child custody. I think, particularly in a country like ours, South Africa, where divorce, separations, people not marrying, often there are children in between those relationships. And that's what we're talking about. What happens to those children? Who has the right to have custody over those children? And that's on the Law Report. Any calls that you, any questions that you may have, do give me a call, 086-000-0959.
Know your rights, know the law. The Law Report with Michael Matswening Bell.
All right, I'm taking a call. You got a child, you are unmarried, and you're wondering what kind of access, what kind of custody you might have in relation to that child. You got a child and you are married, and you're worrying about the same issues. And more complex, parents are from different countries. One of them is from South Africa, another one is from another country. Does it matter where the child was born? Does it matter where the child resides? Which country has the meaning of the child, if at all? I'm going to be joined by two lawyers, one that is based here in South Africa and another that is based in Nigeria. And we're going to be helping you understand some of these issues. And as always, I look forward to engaging with you. I look forward to your questions. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Matswening Bell. That's my Twitter handle. You can also call me 086-000-0959. We only have 40 minutes for this show, so call now. don't leave it till late. It's not going to end at 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, I'm exploring a very different topic, still on the same theme, but certainly different. And we're talking about gender equality and women's rights in the context of child custody. Because obviously, we know that oftentimes it is the women who are left in the care of children. There's more of a conversation about single women than there is about single men. And of course, there are nuances that apply to women, some of which relate to commercial matters. And that's what we're talking about in the last part of the show. So do give me a call. Like I said, phone now, 086-000-0959. All right, let me welcome my guests. I'm joined by Nkateko Christelo Mgadi from Mgadi Attorneys and Associates. Nkateko, good evening, and thank you very much for joining me on the Law Report.
Evening. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Are you well?
I am indeed. I am indeed. Thank you very much for asking. And also all the way in Nigeria, Oludayo Ogungebe. He's also a barrister practicing in Nigeria. I see we don't quite have him on the line, but I will welcome. Just bear in mind that I will be welcoming him in due course. I mean, Nkateko, you know, the issue of custody is one that never really becomes stale because it affects us all in different ways and at different times. And maybe let's just lay down the law. I mean, we have issues of custody as they relate to, you know, the married and unmarried fathers. And maybe let's just unpack, you know, what's the lay of the land in South Africa when it comes to the issue of custody or parent, primary residence, as they would say.
Okay, in South Africa, parental responsibilities are shared between the mother and the father. So either person may either have full or specific parental responsibilities and rights in respect of the particular child. But in a nutshell, both parents have the responsibility, for instance, to care for the child, to maintain contact with the child, to both act as guardians of the child, and to contribute maintenance to the child. So whether you're married or you're not married, each of the parents have these specific rights and responsibilities with regard to the child.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, that's in relation to parental responsibilities. Maybe let's talk about...
That's in relation to parental responsibilities, yeah.
What was previously called custody and for whatever reason is now called primary residence. How does that work?
Well, in terms of a marriage or in terms of art,
take me through
who has a child at the particular time.
Take me through the differences. I mean, you know, just take for granted that I don't know.
Yeah. No, first we would have, with regards to the mother of the child, mm-hmm. whether they are married or not married, they have full responsibility, they have custody, they have rights of the child.
Yes.
And then we'll go then to the married fathers, and then which is the biological father. They also have full parental responsibility, also has a right in respect of the child, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Whether he's married to the child's mother or he's not married to the child's mother. But then we get to the unmarried fathers, which you are a biological father, but you're not married to the mother. And then you also have parental responsibilities if you are either living with the mother or, you know, you're in a permanent relationship but you're not married. You have responsibilities, you have rights, whether you're staying far from them or you're not residing with them. Basically, you still have the same rights, contact, to see the child, and just an agreement you would enter with the mother of the child. But your rights and responsibilities are that of the mother, whether you actually staying with the child or not. Because custody, it can be a technical term to say who has custody. I mean, you'd have to go to court and argue over that. But at the end of the day, if I say responsibilities, meaning you both have responsibility towards the child, like I stated, to take care of the child, to maintain the child, to make sure the child is shelter. But obviously one would have to decide who the child resides with, whether the mother or the father. But basically the rights are the same for both of you.
How do you work out who the child resides with? I mean, it seems quite obvious, but is it? How do you decide where the child is going to stay?
I mean, most of the time, I don't know if it's a natural thing or whatever, but it's most with the biological mother.
Right.
Especially if you guys are not married or you're not staying together. Due to the maternal instincts, maybe, we would say that we could decide that the child will stay with the mother.
Mm.
All right. And then it also going to depend on what type of the mother. Is she responsible? Is she, you know, that goes to then another level where you have to then now fight over, okay, custody. Then you go to a deeper level if the mother or the father is not responsible. But normally, actually, 90% of the cases, the mother.
As a matter of law, how is it decided as a matter of law? How is it decided where the child is going to stay? And maybe let's just pick up on married people or people maybe that stay together, and they married and now they want to live apart.
Yeah.
As a matter of law, how's residence determined?
Yeah. If you're married, then you're deciding, well, we're going to go our separate ways. When you partake into a divorce, it's usually decided during the divorce proceedings, and it's made an order of court within the divorce proceedings.
Yes.
To say these are the specific parental rights and responsibilities, because permanent residency will go to the mother or the father.
The real question, Ngateko, is what does the court look at in before it says, all right, the mother gets it or the father gets it?
Yes, or the father, yes.
Indeed.
The court looks at the best interest of the child. And obviously that would then involve the family advocate. What is best for the child? Not what's best for the mother or what's best for the father, but what's best for the child. And if the court finds none of you are best for the child, then they will be assigned to another person who can look after the child. But the court always looks at the best interest of the child no matter what. And that's where the family advocate then comes in to come and look at whatever arrangement you guys are getting into or whatever it is that is decided upon, is it in the interest of the child?
Earlier, I threatened that we'd be joined by a barrister from Nigeria, and he joins us now, Olidayo Ogungebe. Olidayo, thank you very much for joining me. Are you well?
Oh, thank you. Good evening, our viewers. It's a pleasure and honor to be on the show.
Indeed, the pleasure is all ours. If you've just tuned in, we're talking customary law. And I'm joined by two lawyers, yes. One in South Africa, Nkateko Christelo Mgadi, as well as Oludayo Ogungebe. Oludayo, maybe for those of us who are not familiar with the laws around custody in your country, Nigeria, just take us through how's custody issues determined. Who and how is custody determined?
Okay, good evening to my colleague who I heard a bit of what she was saying earlier. The Nigerian family law, let's start from family law. Nigerian law, in terms of the matrimonial contract, is based on British common law matrimonial causes act. However, we have, in addition to the matrimonial causes act, customary law, Sharia law as well, which also deals with the issue of family law. Mm. Now, although to a certain extent, Nigeria is seen as a patriarchal society. That is where the man, everything is geared in that direction toward man. However, under the customary, under the common law, which is the matrimony causes act, it's not so. Therefore, it's similar to what you have in South Africa, but in relation to child custody, what is paramount in considering where child should stay is based on what is called the best interest of the child. Mm. So, under the Act, Section 7 says, in the proceedings with respect to custody, child welfare, and education of children of the marriage, the court shall have regard to the best interests of the children. Mm-hmm. And that will be the paramount consideration and subject thereto that the court may make such order in respect to those matters as it thinks proper. Now, the interest of the child. The interest of the child under Nigerian can be described as what one of our Supreme Court judges has said. He said, the determination of the welfare of a child is a composite of many factors, considerations such as the emotional attachment to a particular parent, mother or father, the inadequacy of the facilities, such as educational, religion, or other opportunities for the proper upbringing are matters which may affect determination of who should have custody. Now, the court can, well, in under the Matrimonial Causes Act, if whether the person is married or not, in most cases there is an assumption that the mother is best suitable to have custody. And then the father can have visitation rights, access, etc., to the child. Then there are situations where they can have joint custody, so that sometimes the child will be with the mother and sometimes the child will be with the father. And then there are situations where the custody will be split, but the courts will direct which way that should go. Then, the only time custody is given to the father under the matrimonial cause is where the father can prove that the mother is unfit to properly have custody of the child. Maybe she's into drugs, or she's in prison, or she's disabled for some reason, or she has some other situation which could upset the initial presumption that she is to look at the child. And if both of them, maybe the father is a drug dealer and the mother is a drug addict, then they will have to find another suitable third party, which could be a close relative, grandmother, grandfather, or the state can opt for foster parents or some other way to look after the child. So that is how it is.
Let me bring in Ngateko here. I mean, earlier you mentioned, and I just want to sort of compare the different jurisdictions, but earlier you mentioned the family advocate. What role does the family advocate play, Ngateko, in the context of South African law?
Yeah. In South Africa, the family advocate is there to look after the interest of the child. Basically, someone to voice the child, to be a voice on behalf of the child. Mm-hmm. And so they will then, you know, look at the child. You know, he my colleague was in Nigeria, was explaining the best interest of the child in terms of Nigeria. So in South Africa, it would be, they would look at the gender of the child, the relationship the child would have with the specific parents, whether one the parents can provide for the child, or which parent is best suitable to provide for the child. So they are there to look at those type of interests on behalf of the child.
Right. I want to take a break. And when I come back, I want to take a call. And I want to speak to Rachel Mutibe. And she's gone through quite an ordeal and is desperate to find some kind of help. And I'm happy that we have both a South African and a Nigerian lawyer to sort of help us understand. I mean, now that we have a somewhat of a view on what, you know, what the general law, foundational law is around custody, what happens when one parent decides to pick up the child and take him to another country? We're back after this.
Know your rights, know the law. The Law Report with Michael Matswining Bill.
Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, we're talking about customary law. We're talking about civil law as regards to the issues of custody, children. But we're going to touch on another aspect, which is international child abduction. And of course, you know, of course we have borders and there are strong views about borders within Africa, but there are in fact, as a matter of fact, borders. And what that means is that different laws apply when you get to different countries, but love doesn't have borders. It's borderless. And it finds that people from different countries and different borders happen to have children, and those children are in the middle of different countries. And there is invariable conflict that arises, because if I'm from Ethiopia and I'm done with my business in South Africa, I'd very much like to take my kid back to Ethiopia because they are Ethiopian. And so I would argue. And this sort of makes a bit of an interesting discourse for us, and that's what I want to turn to talk about a little bit. So but we're still very much happy to deal with your questions as regards to issues of your custody, any issues that you may have. Do give us a call, 086-000-00959. Let me talk to Rachel Matiba. She phoned in on Tibos's show, and a very touching story she related there. Rachel, good evening, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to me this evening.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
I am Kive. I was married. I'm still married to a Nigerian man.
Yeah.
So I think I should start telling my story.
Indeed, yes, please. I'd very much like that.
So we were married. We were together for 12 years.
Sure.
Then we were married in 2014,
mm-hmm,
on June. So that is when we had our first child.
Yes.
A boy. So we decided to get married on that same month, because my brother born on 2014, June 9.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 28th, we decided to get married on this very same month. So we were together up until 2018 on April.
Mm.
Actually, by somewhere 2017, things were not going very well between us. It was argument, lot of abuses, lot of many things, you know, ups and downs. So on 2018, on April, so we decided to part ways. So I decided to come back to Orange Farm. He stayed in town in Regent's Park. So I took my children along with me to Orange Farm because the boy was in school, the girl was in crèche. So I took my son to school in Lenasia. That is where he went to school. So we decided that on weekends he will come and see the children. Then children were staying with me during the week. So when he used to take these children, Chisom, he was too attached. These children, they were too much attached to their father. Especially Chisom. Chisom, when you talk to him, he will not listen to you. He will only listen to their father. So along the way, all these things, Chisom, when he go to visit his father, when he comes from his father, he will come back changing. And then he will start telling me he doesn't want to go to that school, what. And I will tell him, listen, Chisom, you're my son. I'm your mother. I have to take care of you. Chisom will start changing. You know, even if I talk to him in school there in Lens, they called me one day. I went there. They say, this boy is not participating well, and they don't know what is happening. When he's supposed to write, he doesn't write. So I asked him, Chisom, why are you doing that? Then he told me that my father said I must come back to town in school there where we used to stay. Okay. Then his father used to call me, ask me, he wants to take these children back to town, go back to the school where they used to go. So I said no. I keep on saying no, these children, they will be fine here. Then he saw that I don't agree. He called my mother. Talk to my mother, say, Mommy, please, can I take these children? Because they, I don't like the school, what, all those things. Okay, by then my son started, you know, behaving somehow. All right. Then he came here to me. We talked about it. I said, okay, they can return back. They went back to town where we used to stay in Regent's Park. Then things changed. I was the one who was taking them on Friday, returned them on Sunday, each and every week. And then when schools are closed, I will take them. They will stay here with me. So one weekend, I remember it was close to Good Friday. It was on Monday. I bought them school uniform tracksuit because it was getting a little bit cold. So I took those tracksuit to where they were staying. So I called Chisom. I called them because they were staying with their nanny there. All right. I couldn't find the girl. I find the boy. When I asked him, where's your sister? He didn't answer me. He was just quiet. I would keep on asking, where's your sister? He said he left with my father. I said, to where? He said he doesn't know. Okay. In the evening, I called. I just gave him the clothes. In the evening, I called. I called his father. I said, oh, okay, I was just bringing the clothes there. I will come and fetch them on Friday. He told me, he said to me, no, don't fetch them this weekend. You are going to a birthday party for my friend. My friend is having a birthday party for his child. Then, as a mother, I said, oh, anyway, because they want to go to a birthday party, it's fine. No problem. I will come and fetch them the following week. Okay. That Friday. It was Friday. I didn't go and fetch them. The following Monday morning, it was on the 15th, I remember, I saw a call that is coming from Nigeria because I know the numbers of Nigeria. It was him. Because that weekend, I was calling. I don't know. The number was not going. Then he called me. Early in the morning, around 5 o'clock in the morning, I was thinking maybe it's one of his sisters because I used to talk with the sisters. Then he called me and he told me that we are in Nigeria. I was very shocked. I was on bed.
When was this? How long ago is this, Rachel?
How long?
And when was this, when these events that you're describing?
It's last year on the 15th of April.
Okay.
Yes. He called me and he told me that we are in Nigeria and we are not going to come back to South Africa anymore. Hmm. I asked him, how did you go without my knowledge? Who signed for my children? Who did everything for my children? He said, that one doesn't matter. I've paid money to do whatever I did to go. I said, how did you pass immigration? Who was on my behalf? Because I was supposed to stand for my children. Mm. He said, that one, it doesn't matter. Mm. The matter is, I'm in Nigeria now. Whoever did whatever he did for me, I paid money. Then I'm out of South Africa and I will never come back again. Mm. Then I said, what do you mean when you say you will never come back again? He said to me, that was the last day you saw your children. You will never see them again. Mm. When I remember that, I just said, anyway, another thing is, I don't know where these people are coming from. He told me that you can look and look, you will never find these children. These children, they are mine. He said to me, Nigerians, they don't leave their children behind. They go with them. Then I said to him, because everything is with me. Birth certificate, everything, cut off clinic, everything. He said, forget about that one. I know people that are working in Home Affairs. I know people everywhere. The only thing that I did, I've paid money, then I'm gone. He said, you know, us as Nigerian, we do things with money. I was like shocked. I cried. Mm. I went to school. I didn't go to work. I went to school and asked. Then the teacher said to me, hey, Chisom, the boy, was telling his friends that he's going to Nigeria, he's going to school there, he's not coming back in South Africa. But he never told me that when I was with him. And the other thing is what I know, he used to manipulate these children, especially this boy.
Let's talk about this. Have you seen the children since?
Never.
Do they phone you? Do they... Is there any kind of contact telephonically?
Okay. Let me come there. Then from there I called the sister, the big sister. The big sister said no, he never saw them. Then I called the small sister. The small sister told me that yes, they are there with them. Then I explained everything. Then the big sister said to me, no, as their culture, there's nothing she can do. Mm. If his brother said whatever he said, there's nothing that she can do about everything. Okay. I've been calling, nobody was answering my call. Calling, nobody was answering my call. I think my husband stayed there for, I think it was that week. Then the following week, it was on Saturday, he traveled to Israel, where he left my children with the sister. So I used to call that sister. I would call, no respond. Call, no respond. I would send messages, no, nothing. Until when she feels like I should talk with the children, then it is where she will give me a pass. Then I'll call back fast and talk to the children. And if I talk with the children, I am limited. I will talk maybe 2 minutes or 1 minute. Mm. It's enough. If I say, Chisom, hi, how are you? And you can see that even though they are talking, these children, somebody is looking like they can't even tell me anything. When I say, Chisom, where are you? Chidera, where are you? They say they will not answer me. They will just say, no, we are here. Mm. And that is it.
Okay.
December. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm listening. In December?
On December, I called the lady last year. I bought clothes for Christmas. I said, can I send my children clothes for Christmas? Then their father called me and said, you didn't hear that I told you that these children, they don't need anything that is coming from you. These children, my sister is going to raise them for you. Don't worry. Don't bother yourself. These children, when they grow up, they will come to you. I said, how can you say that? These children, I need them. They're my children. I need to take care of them. You are in Israel. I'm here. So how can you take my children and give them to your sister? Then he told me that is our law in Nigeria. If I go with my children. There's no way that I will leave the children. That is what he's telling me. So each time when I'm calling them, they don't answer the phone. I will call. So whenever they feel like I can talk to their children, that woman, then she will but me and don't, yes. Then, or else if I write a message that is, you know, a message that is painful, that is when she will assess and say to me, okay, you can call your children now. It will be 1 minute. Not more than 1 minute. If it's more than 1 minute, it's 2 minutes. That's how it is.
Yeah.
So this thing has been painful to me. I've been out from work. I had depression and everything. I'm staying in the hospital all this time. I will come back home maybe for a week. Then this thing will start again. I have to go back to hospital. So I've been fighting this thing. I went to police station and opened the case. Police station, they told me that this is their father. Immigration, they never helped me. Home Affairs, they didn't help me. I went to High Court in Pretoria. They told me that I have to go to pro bono. I went to pro bono. There was no help. Nothing at all. So I feel like South Africa failed me. Because I just do not understand how did these children pass? How did he do the passport without me? Because I was supposed to be there when he's doing passport. And I just don't know what is happening.
Had your children not been to Nigeria before?
No. No.
And had you never been to his family in Nigeria?
No.
All right. All right, let's hear from the experts. I mean, Ngateko, let me start with you and get your thoughts, and maybe if you have any clarification questions, Rachel is available to take them.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Yeah, I just want to start with Ngateko Oladayo, and I absolutely look forward to hearing from you as well. Ngateko?
Yes, so it sounds like they have shared guardianship. And whenever parents have shared guardianship, consent is needed when one parent decides to relocate with the children, whether outside of the country or within the country. Consent is always needed. And when the one parent doesn't get the consent, they then have to go and make an application in the High Court requesting such consent, and the High Court can then order that the consent be dispensed with, rather say that, okay, we allow you to relocate with the children. So what's surprising in this case is that one, he didn't have consent to the father, and two, it's not known how he actually was allowed by the immigration officials to exit the country to get out of South Africa. Because you would need consent, or you need an affidavit from the parent, or you need a court order.
In addition to that, you need a birth certificate.
Yes, you need a birth certificate to do passports in the first place. So it's actually shocking how this was all done, because then some fraud could have happened, or some bribing of officials could have happened. Anything could have happened for him to get out of the country. That's the shocking part in this case, that how was he allowed out with the kids without the consent of the mother, and how did he get the passports and everything? That's the shocking part.
Yes. But now, what is the law now? Yeah. What does she do now? What is the law supposed to do for her at this juncture? Where is she supposed to turn for help?
To turn to, So South Africa is part of a state we call the Hague Convention, which is on civil aspects of international child abduction. So basically, the treaty, it was aimed at preventing removal of the child from jurisdiction of which countries are involved within the treaty without the consent of the other parties. And then this treaty helps facilitate the return of these children. And so she can, they work together with the chief of the family advocate, as I was explaining how the family advocate and the role when it comes to children in South Africa. Then we have to then make an application to the High Court to get the children back into the country. Now, my colleague will help me with this one. The last time I checked now, that the countries in Africa that were involved in this treaty are Mauritius and Zimbabwe. Nigeria is not a party to this treaty, because then if they were, then you talk to them and you, through this application, you say we need those children back in South Africa because they're actually citizens of this republic, and then we can then do the case properly in the High Court. So now it's those issues whereby the child went out of the country illegally. Nigerian is not part of this treaty with South Africa, And but however, an application must be made to the High Court together with the Chief Family Advocate. They are the ones that can assist her.
All right. So the best place is to go to the Chief Family Advocate. But there's still something that bothers me in my mind, and I'd like us to touch on it a little bit when we come back. Because it is one thing for one parent to take the child, but it's quite another for laws that we know when we travel with children. Around, you know, the consent around, because this is not only that the children are out, it's the breach of what we understand to be regulations. In fact, the tourism industry was complaining around these stringent laws about how children are supposed to come in and out of a country and how that affects the tourism revenue. So it's a big thing. It was a very big thing. And how the father was simply able to do this with such ease is indeed of concern. I'd like us to touch on that, and maybe, you know, how does she deal with that, with the question of had the immigration, so for Home Affairs and their Department of Immigration, how did they allow this to happen? We'll be back after this.
The Law Report with Michael Motsoeneng Bill, Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome back. We continue our conversation talking about customary law, civil law, but specifically custody and guardianship and who has the right to reside with the child. And that's what we're talking about. I'm joined by yet another lawyer, Vuyo Sigidi. And Vuyo is a lawyer practicing at Lolwana and Sigidi Incorporated based in the Eastern Cape. Vuyo, molo molo tata.
Molo molo molo.
You've been listening in to what we're talking about, Vuyo, and I want to touch, you know, I want to get some of your thoughts as well. But before I do that, Oladayo, if I could just come back to you, and one of the very important things that Ngateko was talking about was, you know, how you exit South Africa when you are with minor children. Are you in a position to talk to us about how you enter Nigeria if you are with minor children? Is there any sort of requirements when you enter in with a child that presumably does not have Nigerian papers, is not born in Nigeria?
Well, that is not how I believe the father was able to take the children.
Yeah.
The first thing is that maybe the father, once a man is in Nigeria and he has a marriage certificate, he can obtain passports, Nigerian passports, for his children.
Okay.
So, if that's what he did, the children would appear to the South Africans as Nigerian children. Those children have two nationalities. They have, yes, South African nationality, and they would have Nigerian nationality.
Yes.
So, if they are showing the immigration authorities Nigerian passports, they're just going to look at them as all Nigerians.
Yes.
So the way they are going to treat them is going to be different.
Yes.
But if the children were having South African passports, and the Nigerian man was having a Nigerian passport, then
could be an issue.
He may not have.
So you're saying, I mean, that's very interesting, Oladayo. You're saying that,
yes,
if I'm, a Nigerian father can get a passport for children who are in South Africa, not in Nigeria, not physically in Nigeria.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can get passport. If his passport expired in South Africa, is there another one? He doesn't have to go to Nigeria to get the passport.
No, but in this case, it hasn't expired. The children had never been to Nigeria prior to...
It doesn't matter. Mm. Every child is entitled to a passport. You can't travel on your father's passport now. And then we don't know the ages of the children. Mm. How old are they?
Oh, sorry, we...
How old are the children?
We don't have that information because we don't have Rachel on the line.
Oh, I thought she was. Okay, fine. But if a child is older than 1 month or 2 months,
yeah,
they have their own passport.
Mm. Yeah, they
and he can obtain
months.
He can obtain a Nigerian passport for his children.
Right.
And then it's not that they won't ask for the consent of the mother, but he can forge a letter saying the mother has consented when he's obtaining that passport.
Mm.
So that can be harm. So he can travel. And the way the woman explained her story, look, anybody who is in a relationship with multinational relationship,
yeah,
and for some reason you choose to separate, like she did, she said she was staying in some farm and the man was staying in another place, then you should immediately commence custody of the children court case. Because once you do that, it now becomes illegal for the father to take them. Because when you're doing a child custody case, the children automatically become what they call the ward of the court. They become children of the court.
Yes, indeed. Let me take Vuyo Oladayo. Vuyo, I mean, you've been listening, and it just seems as if forget Bushiri. but it seems relatively easy to remove children also out of this country. I mean, if we were to go by what Oladayo is saying, then it means that a child who's never been to Nigeria can get a Nigerian passport and just simply exit our borders. And surely there has to be stronger and more immediate recourse. And in Rachel Mutibe's case, she's been in this situation, this unbearable situation, for well over a year now. Surely there has to be something more immediate and something more decisive.
You see, the issue with South Africa as a country is that there are regulations and provisions in place to address such things, but they're not actually introduced to those that actually need them in a more conducive way. Mm-hmm. For instance, my little colleague from Nigeria is explaining a situation, but he's taking from the context of Nigeria.
Indeed, yes.
He forgets that they had to actually move from South Africa to Nigeria. So the explanation he's giving is how they entered Nigeria, not
indeed
how they left South Africa.
Of course, and your point, your role indeed, is to talk to us about the South African bit.
Now, if you had listened to the Rachel's story, she says that when she went to High Court, they said she must go to pro bono. Now, pro bono means that Rachel, at the time she went to High Court, she didn't have money. So they said to her, she must go to pro bono, someone who will do that for her for free.
Yes.
There is legal aid. There are no clinics in universities. But unfortunately, again, Rachel was not exposed to this. Hence, she never actually exhausted those means. Now, the issue with the allegations about bribery and that's the sad part in this entire situation, was police, in fact, don't have the capacity to are not capacitated enough to deal with the children's matters. Rachel's story is complicated. Take it from an instance where the father is drunk at home and is abusing the wife. They can't deal with that in a proper conducive way, which is in line with the best interest of the child. Therefore, the point of departure in this or other, what we need to learn is that South Africans in general don't understand the law that are put in place to protect them.
Mm.
Hence, you will hear Rachel saying that she has been knocking on doors and no one has been opening.
Yeah.
Insofar as knocking on doors, the doors that she has been knocking on are not necessarily the doors that are supposed to open for her in order for her to actually get back the children.
But I mean, it's sometimes we talk about understanding. The help that is, the laws that are there to help you, but you can understand them fine, and you can know where to go. But if you're not getting help, because I mean, a court is a place to turn to, but a court is very difficult to access if you don't have legal representation.
Let me give you
and it seems to me, and I'm sorry for you, it seems to me that you know outside of the, I mean, where they pointed it to pro bono and where you are pointing her to different law clinics, and Legal Aid South Africa. Shouldn't there be a way, and I know Nkateko touched on it a little bit, where a functionary of government is able to protect children? I mean, when we talk about the interest of the child being paramount, how do we do service to that, to those words? If a mother sits a year and a half down the line without a kid, and I think this is the most important thing. It's not that the father took the children and is living with them. He took the children from the mother and dumped them with the sister.
As much as I understand that, but what we need to understand is this.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is one of those situations. In any given case, there are two sides to the story.
Mm.
Now, it will be difficult for any avenue to just jump and act without actually understanding the issues at play in this situation. As I'm saying that, when the court said to her she must actually approach a pro bono, the pro bono is free work.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying to her, like, ventilate your situation to us. Tell us exactly what happened. If we grant an order, the order is not then invalidated and pursuant to its enforcement. We need to know what happened. We need to know who this kid, who this man, how did it go about, so that when the order is granted, it's valid.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is that, in as much as everything else is happening, when I say that these regulations are in place, I mean, in as much as there are functionary bodies that are meant to deal with this, unfortunately, they're humans, so they are bribed. Mm-hmm. So when you go to legal aid, when you go to a lawyer, the lawyer will play the administrative role in terms of holding those people into account, and they'll think in the law, say that this thing has happened. They extend it to the lawyer in a better way. But unfortunately, as I said, in as much as we have these rules and regulations and provisions, South Africa has not quite established ways to make it easy for the people in the grassroots. Because as Mabu Rachel here was saying, she has tried everything else and nothing has happened. And if you take it from her lay point of view, she has done everything that she can. I might say to her that, Rachel, I'm scared. I will do this matter for you for free. Let's do ABCD. But at the time I'm saying this, she'll be exhausted. She won't have hope in the system, and that's the entire point.
Mm.
In a situation where these things are not actually taken to the people, by the time that people actually hear about them, they have lost hope in the justice system. Hence, she's saying that she has been failed. She's using those words because there's bribery in place. There's incompetence in place. And there's state organs pointing fingers where to go and whatnot. Kind of thing that, unfortunately, that's the situation that we're facing in terms of this particular situation. If you allow me to give an example, for instance,
yes.
Let's take a mere customary marriage.
Yes.
In customary marriage, you find that it is not required for the marriage to be registered. Therefore, you can actually take someone in concert, they say, which is what they become the wife customary. But it then becomes the duty of the wife who's alleging the marriage at the end to say, I was married to this person. And our people down in the grassroots level don't understand this. So they take this customary marriage as dating, and they lose the benefits of marriage only because it is not ventilated down to them in a way that is understandable. I understand it because I deal with it in everyday basis. But Umama Rachel, for instance, he's one of the people that will fall short in terms of the consequences.
Sure. Nkateko, I mean, you mentioned the role of the family advocate, and maybe, you know, we with just 6 minutes remaining in the show, maybe just pointed to what are the obligations of the chief family advocate as regards this? What can Rachel look forward to insofar as getting decisive help?
Yeah. They are there to facilitate the return of the children.
Mm.
So as much as she hasn't been getting help from the court, remember, probably when you go to court, you don't necessarily see a judge. You get there and you ask the staff, the people that are working there.
Indeed.
And they're not necessarily lawyers. So they will point you to lawyers to say, go to the lawyers. If you cannot afford one, go to the state, or, you know, other institutions. That's the advice probably she got. Not that she saw lawyers, but she was advised to be taken to lawyers.
Mm.
So at least family advocates are there for children. They know how to deal with this. They will advise you properly how to deal with children. So they are there to facilitate the procedure, and they will explain that normally this is how we deal with these cases. If there's a need to have a lawyer, they will then direct you to the correct ones. I have a need, obviously, to, you cannot afford one. There's always those words, those advocates.
Here's something, I'm very, very quickly, if you can help me, Nkateko. I mean, these are two different sets of laws, and I might be a South African lawyer trained in law in my jurisdiction, but this is a completely different country. How does that work? Because surely, you know, it would be completely ridiculous if Rachel is required to go litigate in Nigeria and have to contend with Nigerian laws, which, from Oladaya's explanation, give some kind of preference to a man. And I'll allow Oladawo to clarify if perchance I'm misquoting him. Contend with laws that are not in line with our constitution, not in line, you know, with what they would have signed up for. If we get married in South Africa, we make babies in South Africa, I'm not trying to wonder what's going to happen, what are the laws in Nigeria if our life is based in South Africa.
With Rachel's case, though, the children were born in South Africa.
Yes, indeed.
Making them citizens of South Africa.
Mm.
And the chief at the family advocate, I mentioned earlier that they're there to facilitate the return of the children. They know the specific treaties. They know international child abduction. They know civil aspects. They know the different conventions on how to handle kids that are born of this side, that are removed from this country without the consent of the other parent. They are guided by the Children Act. So basically anything concerning children, they would know about it and they would know how to handle it. So.
Got you. We got, yeah.
Yes.
I want to close with you, and if we can do this in 20 seconds, I'd be most indebted to you. When I get to Nigeria, what chance does a mother have? I mean, let's assume there aren't treaties.
Okay. Let me come and don't say anything.
20 seconds.
Yes, 20 seconds. The first thing is, either the child advocate or whatever, the mother needs to employ a lawyer in South Africa. They should get a court order. Once they get the court order, they involve the embassies, and then they come to Nigeria with that court order, that the children should first of all come to South Africa to determine where they are supposed to go. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
She starts a custody case in South Africa. She doesn't come and start it in Nigeria. She must start it in South Africa.
Got you. That's your 20 seconds. That's her 20 seconds. Yes. Thank you very much to all my guests. Vuyo Sikidi, I wish I had more time with you, and I know there's some areas that you wanted us to talk about, but time didn't permit. That's Vuyo from the all the way in the Eastern Cape, as well as Nkateko Mgadi, and also very kindly Oladayo has agreed to talk to us. Thank you very much. From me, Michael Mutoning Bill, good evening.
That was the Law Report with Michael Mutwining Bill, Kaya FM 95.9.
MultiChoice will add its ad movies product, which allows subscribers to the DStv Compact Plus, Compact Family Access, Easy View, and Indian packages to access Mnet's top three movies channels, Mnet Movies 1, Mnet Movies 2, and FlickNet, for an additional 99 Rand per month.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.